Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter. But let us sing first in Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry. Our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear. My prayer accepted be, O God, our shield. Look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. All stanzas of 226.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Proverbs and thereof chapter 18. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Proverbs chapter 18. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy many reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jenny Van Sluis, who had surgery in this past week and is now in the Fort McLeod community beds. Also, Tyler Arnold Dusen has been taken to the Children's Hospital in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art high in the heavens, and yet who beholdeth all the things that are done here below, oh, that thou may look upon us in this morning hour. For we are gathered together in thy house of prayer. When another week in the life of each and every one of us is forever gone by, and when thou dost give us to enter into a new day and into a new week, whereof we know not the issue, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And yet thy long-suffering mercies, they are great over us and over our children, to give unto us all the blessings necessary for this life, but especially that thou givest us thy word, and that we may come together in thy house Sabbath after Sabbath day, when thou art upholding still in the last time thy institutions, for thou wilt ever have a church here upon the earth. And when that last one that is drawn in, then thou wilt bring all things here to a close, when the heavens shall be wrapped together as a scroll. O Lord, that thou may give to us humble hearts in this morning hour, and when in a special way we may also be gathered together, when there will be a young man who will be installed when thou wilt give it in the office of deacon. Lord, we ask that thou may remember him in that office which now he will enter into, that thou may give to him a humble heart, that thou givest him such a place in thy house. For we have sung it also together. One day in thy house, where I thy beauty see, is better than a thousand days, O Lord, apart from thee. And thou knowest also what lives within his own heart. O, that thou may give to him that humility before thee, that thou givest him such a task in thy house. And could it please thee and to give him to be a blessing in the midst of us as a consistory, but also as a congregation. Do remember his Father when he may bring thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath. And now his Son may be installed in this office. And then he knoweth also all that it will bring forth for the difficulties. They can be so very many. And then there will be a cry in his heart also that thou may go before him. Lord, wilt thou look upon him and his wife together? And wilt thou bless his labors, and may it be all the labors of thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world, and our labors as a consistory, that we may be given what is necessary to work together in love and in unity, and that we may be given wisdom from above in all the labors of our hands for the welfare of the flock over which thou hast made us overseers. Lord, who is sufficient for these things? Oh, that thou may give every day again what we need to do our work, and that the grace of God may live and may burn in our hearts. Wilt thou look upon our whole flock? Lord, thou knowest all the hearts and what is living within. We are traveling to a great eternity, each and every one, young and old, with a soul. And we have to give an account, therefore, for all our deeds, for all our words, and for all our thoughts. There is not one of us, O Lord, that is able to stand before thee clean, that is able to give an account and to stand in thy judgment without experiencing thy wrath and thy just displeasure. Oh, give us that grace and that faith to believe it, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Oh, that we might learn to flee that city of Sodom, and to seek unto Zoar, that there we may be safe. Lord, that thou may remember young and old, as our hearts are cleaving by nature to all that is passing away. And we have no need in our hearts for the things that are eternal. We have no love for thee. And thou art our maker and our creator. And thou art our provider and our sustainer. And we have no desire for thee. But we turn our backs unto thee day after day. Lord, then it is a wonder that thou still sparest us, but open our eyes to see and to behold it, that our hearts indeed may be humbled before thee, and that we may receive our rightful place in the dust of self-abasement, and that we also may be drawn unto thee by thy goodness, and that it may lead us to a true repentance, and that it may make our guilt to rise as the heavens, and that we may see all our evil, that we may be humbled before thee, that we may desire and beseech of thee, that thou may turn us again. For our hearts are evil, they are full of wickedness and of sin. But unless thou openest our eyes, then we are so blind to it. Lord, we beseech it of thee then, for thou art the first and thou art the last. Oh, remember then also all of thy own. Thou knowest also where that they are. And then they must acknowledge that thou art the first. But then more and more, then it is their only hope that thou art also the last. That thou wilt also continue the work.
and that thou wilt bring it to an end, and that thou thyself would uphold it unto the end, and that thou would carry them through. It is a church that is only able to turn everything upside down, to leave the days without number, to lay upon a bed of sloth, and to deny thee, to turn away from thee. Oh, then it is necessary that thou, as that great shepherd, which go after those that have strayed away. Lord, then it may be in the heart of this one or of that one, even in this morning hour. Oh, Lord, come again. Oh, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh, if there has ever been a beginning, oh, Lord, then thou wilt thou then make that fire again to burn. And, Lord, then if it was never true, oh, wilt thou make it true for the first time in this morning hour? And remember the children and the youth. Lord, thou knowest that life that is before them. Oh, then they see it as a long time before that they will have to approach that Jordan. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to open their poor blind eyes? For thou sayest that it is but an handbreadth, our life that is a vapor. And so it is experienced, the older ones, they will say it. Then it is gone in a moment. Lord, wilt thou give in the days of their youth that they may remember their Creator, that they may flee all that is vain and all that is passing. Lord, wilt thou remember those that have strayed away, that come no more under thy truth? Then it may be that there are those parents that are mourning. Lord, could it please thee? Thou alone art able to reach the heart. That thou in this day may give them where that they are, to remember again the way that they have been brought in their youth, when they were taken by the hand unto the house of God, and give them to mourn. Bring them again with weeping and with supplications, thou who hast all the power in heaven and in earth. And wilt thou give that thy word may go forth over the length and the breadth of the whole world, that many may be brought into thy kingdom, and that it may come. That thy servants, that there may be more sent forth, that may be truly converted and called by thee, and that also over the heathen nations, there may come a confessing of the true and the living God. Remember the Jewish nation. Thou knowest all the turmoil that is in this world and all that takes place round about them. Lord, wilt thou watch over and protect them? And wilt thou keep the enemy from them? That they may experience that thou dost live. But wilt thou also turn them again? Give them to see that thy only begotten Son has been sent into this world. That they may be given to acknowledge him, and that they may be brought again unto thee. Lord, wilt thou look upon all those that have special needs, the afflicted, the sick ones, also those that have difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou supply for all those that are in distress and all that are oppressed? Lord, thou knowest their place, and they have no power, and the power of the enemy that is so great. But wilt thou give them a cry unto him who has all the power in heaven and in earth, and that they may experience that thou livest? Then they will be drawn unto thee. Lord, wilt thou remember us then all together? Do help us in the bringing of thy holy word. Oh, could it please thee to give to us strength therefore continually, and do help us in this morning hour, that thou may give to us that grace to burn in our heart, for of ourself then it does not burn so, but it may it be so for the sake of this thy flock. Lord, that thou may give to those also that are not able to be here, that may listen by church telephone perhaps, and those that are in other places, her that has received surgery. Lord, wilt thou give strength once again and health in the body? Wilt thou visit her also? For thou knowest, O Lord, the cry of her heart. Oh, could it please thee, in the place where she is in this day, to visit her with a little token of thy presence, a little light, O Lord, and that may come from above, and that she may acknowledge that the Lord thinketh upon her, even in the place where she may be. Remember also the child that was taken to the hospital. Thou knowest the need of his body. Wilt thou spare yet his finger? And wilt thou remember him and the parents in this need? Wilt thou supply for us then all together, forgiving and taking away all that is amiss and sinful, glorifying thy only, thy great and thy holy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. And the last collection today is for the school. We announced that the consistory meeting, which had to be canceled in this past week once again, is scheduled for this coming Thursday, July 11th at 7:30 p.m. Visitors are welcome at 8:30. 19, 1 through 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word that was read to you, Proverbs 18, and thereof the 23rd verse. Proverbs 18, verse 23. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. As so far, the words of our text. Our theme is the entreaties of the poor. First, in a natural way, and second, in a spiritual way. The entreaties of the poor, naturally and spiritually. The poor useth entreaties. What is that? An entreaty. That is a supplication. That is a cry. In a great need, an entreaty. Children, you will remember in the Bible that it is written about a widow, and that widow had but two sons, no longer a husband, but two sons. And then she was crying, she was supplicating, she was entreating the prophet of the Lord, Elisha. Why? Because the creditor was come. The creditor to receive his money. And she did not have money. She did not have enough to pay the creditor. And therefore that creditor was going to take her two sons from her and make them his bondmen. So she would lose not only her husband, but she would lose now also her two sons. And she therefore had a great need. And thus she is crying. Thus she is supplicating. Thus she is entreating the prophet of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties. Those entreaties, they are a mark. They are a mark of the poor. Do we ever find the rich using such entreaties? No, the rich do not need to use such entreaties because they have sufficient. We have a saying, money is power. The rich then, because they have money, they have power, and then they are able to make demands and they are able to give commands. But then we do not find them making entreaties, in making supplications. Therefore, we read that Solomon, he says, that the rich ruleth over the poor. The poor useth entreaties. The poor, poverty, what is that? It is lack. It is want. It is to miss. That is, of course, relative. There are some very poor and others that are not considered to be so poor. That is relative in comparison to one another. But then there are some, they are lacking even the very necessities of life. Then they are lacking food and drink and clothing and shelter. Then we say truly, that is a poor man. How do we know? How do we distinguish that real poverty? Well, we distinguish it by the entreaties. Sometimes there are people, they make a vow of poverty for whatever reason. Then it is a willing putting away of all the goods and the riches of this world, and to live a very simple life, a vow of poverty. A congregation that is not that true poverty. And what is the difference? Well, the difference that is in the power. The difference that is in the choice. And then he is making a choice to let go of all the things that he has indeed power to make use of, but he has made a decision not to make use of. But now that real poverty, a poor man, he does not congregation choose to be poor. No, but he desires just the opposite. Or he desires to come out of that poverty. But in that true poverty, then there is experienced helplessness. Thus, Solomon says, the destruction of the poor is his poverty. That is, the very poverty itself does not allow him to come out of his poverty. And such a man, the Bible says, he useth entreaties. That is, he is a beggar. A beggar. Entreaties. Then he is dependent upon others that are about him to supply for his needs. What do you think? That he likes to beg? No. Congregation, we don't like to beg. Our nature does not like to beg. And why not? Well, children, how did God make us? We can read that in the Bible, that the Lord, he has made us the masters of the creation. He has given us power over the creation, and that we should have dominion over all the earth, man, over the beasts, over the plants, over the whole earth. Dominion. And that man should subdue the earth, then the earth would bring forth its abundance for the use of man. And out of poverty, or what is that poverty? What does it mean to beg? Or to beg, that is an admission. Then I must confess, then I must admit that I do not have that dominion over the earth. All that brings me back to the very beginning of my creation. That brings me back to the fall. That brings me back to my guilt, where the Lord has made me the master. And where I have rebelled against him, thinking that I will gain more power, that I will be as God himself, and actually that I have lost my power over the creation. Thus, to beg, that is a consequence of our fall, and that is humiliating. No, we do not like to beg. And I do not like to beg also from my fellow man, because that is very humbling to me. That is for me a great shame in this world. No, we do not like to beg. But a poor man, he is forced to beg. Why? Because he misses the necessities. He misses his food. If he has no food, children, then he shall die. No drink, then he must beg. And if he has no house and he has no clothes, and he is not able to get them, then he has only to beg for them. Thus, then he feels his helplessness. The poor use it in treaties. Poor man is a miserable man. Miserable because of what he misses. Miserable because of his lack. But that is not the only thing. There is more. There are consequences of that poverty. Because that man, he is now, because of that poverty, also an exposed man. That is a further consequence. He is exposed to what? He is exposed to the cold, children. Then he has but rags. Then it will be very cold for him in the wintertime. And when he has not a sufficient shelter, then it will be very hot for him in the summertime. Oh, that is one thing. He is exposed to the elements. But he is also exposed because of the wretched fall of man. He is also exposed to oppression. He is exposed to ridicule. He is exposed to abuse. He is a man that has no power, and therefore he is easily taken advantage of. What do we read? We read, the rich answereth roughly. That is, he hears the cries of those poor. He hears the supplications. He hears the entreaties of the poor. And he gives a rough answer, or he gives no answer, but he does not take heed to the needs of his fellow man. The rich answereth roughly. That means his ears, they are deaf to his cries. That means that he is leaving it to the dogs to lick the sores of Lazarus. That rich man, he has no what we call empathy. What is empathy? That is that we feel what another person is feeling. He has no empathy. Oh, then he has never had a hunger pang himself. Then he has never felt the bite of the cold. Then he has never experienced the helplessness and the despair that is living in the heart of a truly poor man. He cannot feel it. He has no empathy. And in our text that speaks even of a man that has no sympathy, that is even more. That is, even if I cannot feel it, then at least that I am compassionate. But that is a man that even has no sympathy, then he cannot speak even a kind word unto him in the day of his trouble, and he cannot do for him a good deed. The rich answereth roughly. Congregation, the Lord is the protector of the poor. That is the wonder, a great wonder. And why? Because poverty, that is our own fault. We were not made poor. No, but we were created so rich. And we have ourselves rebelled and brought ourselves in such a condition. And yet, we can read in the Holy Word of God how that the Lord is the carer of the needy and of the poor. Is that not a wonder? When those poor do not deserve the care of the Lord, what is that called? You know what that's called, young people? What is it called when someone receives something without deserving it? Without deserving it. That is called grace. Grace. Mercy that is looking towards someone who is miserable. That is the poor. But grace that is even more, that is looking towards someone who is not only miserable, but who is also undeserving. That is the Lord. We can read in God's word that the Lord has made laws, especially for those poor people. Then others may not charge interest. We call that usury. That is, if the poor, they need to borrow some money, then they have to be able to pay back just what they have borrowed. They don't have to pay back more. No interest. We may not make money from the poor. That is the word of the Lord. In God's word, then we can read how that the Lord speaks about the judgment. When we will come in judgment, then we must be very careful that we are not, just because a man is poor, that we are not perverting justice because of his poverty. The Lord says we may not sleep with his pledge. A pledge, so then he needs to borrow something, and then that poor man, to borrow it, he must give something to the lender. He must give, well, he has nothing. So what will he give? Children, he will give his coat. I may keep my coat until I bring it back. And now what does the Bible say? If that poor man, if he cannot bring it back yet, then you may not keep that coat overnight. You may not sleep. You may not go to sleep when you still have the coat of that poor man. That is the care of the Lord, who is sitting between the cherubims upon the throne of heaven and of earth, looking upon the poor that are in this world. You may not take advantage of him, the Lord says. If he must become your servant, he may not be a bond servant. No, he may not serve without getting paid. He must be a hired servant because he is poor. When you reap the corners of your field, when you reap your field, you may not reap the corners of your field. You must leave them so that those poor people, they may come and they may glean in that field. They may take what is left over in that field for themselves. Even congregation, the sabbatical rest. We read that in God's word. The sabbatical rest that was every seventh year, that the land had to, that was not able to be sown or reaped. And why not? Save for the land may rest. No, it was not just for the land, but that was actually for the poor. What does it say? 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy oliveyard. Because when we do not sow it, then next year there will still be some. Still be a little here, a little there, that will grow all by itself. And we may not touch it, because then those poor people, they may come and they may eat of it. Thus the Lord, the protector of the poor. Then we read in God's word of threatenings. Threatenings that he threatens those that will not help the poor. Proverbs 24:11-12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his work? You say, I didn't see it. I didn't know it. But you did know it. No, then the Lord says, I know what you have known, and I will render to you what you have done, thus threatening. Then we read also of promises in the Word of God. That is for the poor, for those that help the poor. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble, and the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Thus we have the character of God, who is in the heavens. That is, that he is the helper and the carer of the poor and needy, their defender, who will come to their aid. That is a God of grace. That is a God of mercy. That will be, congregation, the highest praise of God to all eternity. Grace, free, sovereign grace. Then he will be exalted forever and forever for this. That was the very reason for the decree of our fall. Is that for the natural poor only? No. No, you understand that goes much deeper. That is our second thought, because what does the Lord say? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Is that not so? Oh, if the Lord is the defender of the poor, oh, then are not the poor in spirit blessed? Congregation, are we also blessed? Are we also numbered among that people that come under the wings and under the shadow of the Almighty? Say, how do I know that? That I am also one of the... Do you also desire to know that? Is that in your heart also 'tis the point I long to know? Am I his or am I not? Then we can read in God's word what is the life of that people. Blessed, he says, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are blessed. Blessed, he says, are they that are reduced to beggary. To beggary. Do they feel blessed? Oh, congregation, they feel miserable. Miserable. And yet he says they are blessed. That is a mystery. What is the mark? What is the mark of the blessedness of the people? It is poverty of spirit. Say, yes. How do I know that? How do I know that I am poor in spirit? Well, Solomon says, the truly poor, they use entreaties. Entreaties. We are sure that there are many here that realize that you are poor. Then we would come to your house And when we would sit down with you, and when we would say to you, how is it now? You are traveling to eternity. Do you have what you need? And then you will say, I do not. Then I must admit that I lack what I need. And then maybe you also say, oh, that blessed people, they are rich, and I am poor. Oh, we are sure that there are many of you that would give us such an answer. But now we ask you this question. Are there entreaties? Are there entreaties? You say you are poor. But Solomon says, the poor useth entreaties. Do you belong to them? There are those who actually are glad with poverty. Why? Well, they say, that is a mark. And I have nothing. Or I have so little. And then we can speak about our poverty. And because I have so little, then I am included. And the Lord, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And therefore I am also one of them. Because poverty, that is a mark. But congregation, that is not so. That is not so. The whole world is poor. What do we have? We have by nature nothing. Nothing of value. We have no spiritual life. We have no hunger. We have no thirst. No, it is not alone that poverty. We can speak about poverty, but it is very different to experience what our poverty is. To speak about poverty, that is very comfortable. But to experience our poverty, that is miserable. That is miserable. No, it is not poverty in itself that is a mark. But that true poverty that is known by, you know now, children, you know now, that true poverty that is known by its entreaties. Thus, they want to come out of that poverty. Then it is entreating the Lord to deliver me from this poverty because they feel the misery of that poverty. Oh Lord, deliver me. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. That is now the mark of the spiritually poor. The poor useth entreaties. Poverty, what is it? It is lack. It is want. And then there is the experience of the helplessness under that want, not as the Arminians. No, then we have power. We have power by common grace, by the Spirit, that we have ability to take hold. No, then we do not feel that helplessness. A poor man, he is a bankrupt man. Or he has lost everything that he has worked so hard to gain. Oh, he has lost his wisdom, he has lost his strength, he has lost his righteousness, and so on. And that poor man, he becomes a beggar. The word of God. The poor useth entreaties. No, not because he likes to beg, but he has to beg. He has to beg. Because, congregation, there is no other way. There is no other way for him. He would like to be full. Or he would like to have all the promises that they are applied to him. He would like to be able to speak. He would like to be full of zeal. He would like to be full of hunger. He would like to be full of everything he says God's children are full of. And what does he find in himself? That he is empty. And that I cannot give it unto myself. But he also cannot live in such a way. No, I cannot remain empty. I cannot remain in my poverty. Because this that is death, and that is going even to an eternal death, or if I deserved it, I could demand it. But I've sinned it all away. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just, speechless I thy mercy trust. Oh, the poor useth entreaties. The poor man, he has to beg. He has to beg for a crumb, and just a crumb of grace. Oh Lord, the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. May I have just one crumb. Oh, may I have just the smallest part. Oh, Ruth, she came to those fields of Boaz. They were the fields for the children of Israel. They were the fields for God's people. Oh, she was so on the outside of that. She was not like one of his handmaidens. She was a heathen. And what did she do? She came when Boaz was not there. She came to the servants of Boaz and she says, may I glean a little, glean a little. Oh, may I have just the smallest part of what belongs to God's people. Why? Because I am hungry. Because I am thirsty. And because I cannot live except that I would receive something. Oh, to receive the lowest place in that kingdom of God. To be a doorkeeper. A lowly station in thy house. That is the desire. A lowly station that were dearer to my heart than all that is in this world, even if I could claim the chiefest part of all that is in this world. Oh, to have, Lord, the smallest part in thy kingdom. I lack it. I am on the outside of it. But, Lord, I cannot do without it. Oh, they must beg for a crumb of grace, a crumb of faith that they might believe, congregation. O Lord, trembling, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, to experience, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. The poor useth entreaties, poor in strength. In strength. Strength for that warfare. Oh, they cannot fight that warfare. Even the Apostle Paul, you say, he was a man, he was so strong. Oh, congregation, that man too. Oh, he had to say, I am so weak. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, then Lord, keep me. O Lord, preserve me. O Lord, keep my hold up my footsteps in thy paths. O poor in strength, poor in light for their own case, to see how it is with me. O my case, as it is standing before the God of all the earth. And so they have to beg. O Lord, light my candle. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt supply, O poor in light, poor in wisdom, that they say, O Lord, teach me. O Lord, guide me. O Lord, open up thy word, that I may see something and that I may have just a little crumb, poor in defense. Because then they are not able, they have no power to defend themselves against the enemy. And so they have to ask it of the Lord over and over again. O Lord, deliver me from mine enemies. Defend me from those that do rise up against me. O, the poor useth entreaties. That is a beggar's life. A beggar's life. Do we know what that beggar's life is? Saul, he was not a beggar. Saul of Tarsus. And do you know what the Lord did? First thing, children. First thing. What happens? Oh, the Lord stops him. And the Lord blinds him. And you know what he has to do? He has to beg somebody. Oh, will you take my hand? Take my hand and lead me. Because I cannot see anymore. That is the way of the Lord with his people. He says he will be inquired of by the house of Israel, that he may do it for them. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And so it remains. So it remains. And then there are some. There are some of God's children. And they say, am I really now one of his children? Then I remember a time in my life. This time, I remember that poverty. And then I remember the entreaties. But now it has been so long. And now it seems so different. And it seems like those entreaties are gone. Yes, we read it of a bride that is laying on a bed. You say the entreaties are gone. Indeed, there is a people that they become rich. And congregation, the Lord has to make them poor again. But when that bride was laying there, people of the Lord, we will ask you that question this morning. When that bride was laying there upon that bed, how was it with her? How was it? Because then that bride, she can be answering to that bridegroom when he is calling. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. She can be answering and saying, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? But do you know what is living deep down in her heart? There is deep down in her heart, there is a cry. There is a cry. Oh, she says, before it was better with me than it is now. And she cannot deliver herself. She cannot deliver herself. And there is deep down a cry that is saying, Lord, come. Lord, thou wast first in my life to give me that cry. Wilt thou come again? Wilt thou revive it? Wilt thou make it to burn deep down? There are entreaties that are going up unto the Lord of Sabaoth. And do you know what the answer to those entreaties are? Then he is taking his hand and he is leaving on the locks of the door a little myrrh, a little myrrh. And her heart is breaking. And she is rising. And she is opening. But he is gone. He is gone. And now she goes out, seeking, looking, supplicating. But now it is better with her than it was before. Now she is closer to finding her beloved. The poor useth entreaties. Congregation, we have to close. What do we read about the Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. So poor, that he used entreaties. Cannot fathom it. The Son of God, if thou wilt, that this cup may pass from me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Unfathomable. Had he no power? He had it. He had it. He laid it aside for the sake of his church. And that is now why Paul, he says to that church, he says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Oh, that is a message unto those poor, unto the entreaties of those poor, that they may cry to him boldly, who is able to be touched with the feelings of their infirmities. Oh, it is to them that the invitations they are coming, that he says it is without money and it is without price. Thus it is for the poor. And it is to them that the promise is made. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Open, saith the Lord. Why thy mouth believing this, my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, 187. 187. We'll sing all stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1 through 4 of 187. We will now read the form for the ordination of deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who is chosen to the office of deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why he should not be ordained in his office, and whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of deacons. Of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in their daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it in simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. And the second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask the brother to be installed to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother, Mr. Hibbert DeLeo, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God Himself to this your holy office. Secondly, and whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only Word of God and a perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your office as it is here described in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Brother DeLeo, there will always be poor in the world. The poor, we read in God's word, they shall never cease out of the land. Those in the land of Canaan, the Lord had said that there would be no more poor. That is not in a literal way, but that land of Canaan, that was a very prosperous land, a land that was to be flowing with milk and honey. And that land was a picture of a heavenly land. And indeed, in that eternal glory, there shall be no more poor. There will be no more misery. There will be no more poverty. But in this world, there will be poor. And then it is not as the socialistic ideas try to bring about in this world that they can erase the difference between the rich and the poor. That shall never be. And it is not according to the word of God. But the Lord, He has instituted an office. And we have heard something how that the Lord, He is the helper of the poor and of the needy. And He has instituted a specific office in the church unto the end of the world, that office may be His hand in the world. That is to carry out His will in the world. Thus, you, in these moments, have become an instrument in the hand of the Lord to carry out His will upon the earth. That is a solemn matter. And that is a matter for which you also one day will have to give an account. The ears of the Lord, they are open to the cry of the poor. And now the Lord has set you in His stead upon the earth, that your ears may be open unto their cry. You will need discernment, even as we heard out of the forum, because there is a speaking of poverty, which is no poverty, but that the Lord may give you to hear the entreaties of the poor. But there is one more thing, and I think that is the most difficult thing in your office. We have heard it out of the form, and that is that a deacon, then he is also to speak comfortable words from Scripture. And there is one thing, to bring the needs of the poor to them. But it is another thing. And we think it a more difficult thing, a much more difficult thing, to bring to them the right words. Now to speak of Him who is the helper of the needy, not only of the needy in this world, but of the spiritually needy, the spiritually poor. Oh, may the Lord give you yourself more and more that place. That is what we need. Because when we ourselves will be brought and kept as we need in that place, then we are able to speak comfortable words unto the poor. May the Lord go with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord cause you to be a blessing in the midst of us. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing on behalf of Mr. DeLeo, Psalter 368, stanzas 4 and 5. 368. Stanzas 4 and 5, I will abundantly provide for Zion's good, the Lord hath said. 4 and 5 of 368 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, and show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. And be all with one accord faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God, and count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming, the elders in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 193. Let's sing just numbers 1 through 4. O God, to thy anointed King give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1 through 4 of 193. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.